celebrating Christmas, a gift that takes a lifetime to unwrap. We're going to talk about a gift that takes a lifetime to unwrap. And we're so glad that you're here and celebrating Christmas with us, and a gift that takes a lifetime to unwrap. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, I just thank you for the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit of God being here today. God, thank you for the songs of worship, the songs of praise, Lord, all reflecting the birth of Christ. And Father, having that joy and that peace that only comes from you. And God, thank you for our time to be here and gather here today. Lord, thank you for our children and our youth, the Lord, and Father, as they participated in the service, the Lord, and talking about the 12 days of Christmas, the Lord, and what they all represent according to your word and according to scripture, the Lord, and God, and they're thankful for what they've done and what a great job they did, and the workers that work with them so diligently, the Lord, and God, we just thank you for this time that we've gathered here to celebrate, the Lord, and the reason that we celebrate, and the reason that we give gifts, and the reason that we sing, God, is because you gave first. You gave your son Jesus, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, born in a manger, the Lord, that we could have reason to celebrate, that we could have reason to give gifts and worship you and praise you. And God, we thank you for family and friends here today. Thank you for those that's traveled to be here, those that, Father, were sick and under the weather that are able to be here, those that haven't been here in a while that have come back home. God, we thank you for them, the Lord, and thank you for what you're doing in the midst of our church. And God, thank you for the love, the peace, and the harmony that is being exhibited amongst brothers and sisters in Christ here. God, we're thankful for that, the Lord. And as the hustle and bustle and the busyness of the season, as Adam said, we can tend to be snappy or whatever, but God, that's not the reason. Lord, we're here to celebrate you. We're here to exhibit the birth of Christ. We're here to let Jesus shine through us. And Lord, I pray today as we open up your word that you'll defeat the devil, as Adam has already prayed, that you'll bind him up in the name of Jesus and cast him away from here. He's not welcome here or wanted here. And God, continue to let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our hearts and our life. God, as we open up your word is precious. God, your word is anointed. And God, I pray the anointing over the reading of your word today, that as we open it up, as we read it, the Lord, it just won't be another Christmas story that we're reading, but God, it will have meaning behind it. It will have reason behind it. And God, that it will have a reason for us to celebrate about Christ, the Lord. And God, I pray for the anointing of that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our ears, have us to receive your word today. The Lord, in the testimony we share, the Lord, may it grip our hearts today and understand, the Lord, what it means to give it away, to give you away, the Lord, to give it away, God, and to give gifts for you. And God, I pray again the anointing over the reading of your word. Father, fill our hearts, fill this place with your presence and power today. God, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, we exalt you, we lift your name up on high. God, may you bless, may your word go forward, may it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you today. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2 in verses 1 through 20 says this, says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what we're here to celebrate, amen, a birth of a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you in verse 12. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, and with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from the and into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I thought about the gift that takes a lifetime to unwrap. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the gift of God's Son. I was thinking about what God has provided for us. What God has provided for us when we receive that gift is an instant gift. If you're taking notes, number one, I want you to think of it as it's an instant gift, a gift from God. It is instant the moment we receive it. And as you know, Mark always finds the perfect slides to put up here to tie in with my message. It says he's on the way. Amen. What about an image like that? What about an MRI and a sonogram looking like that with a halo around the head? Amen. That's Jesus, right? Christmas starts with Christ, and it is an instant gift. I know all the mamas in here, when they were birthing their children and they did sonograms, your babies looked just like that, didn't they? Had halos. Amen. It's okay. Are y'all with me today? Say amen. I see babies all over the place in here. Mama's holding them. When your baby and you seen your sonogram of your baby, did it not have a halo on it? Yeah. Amen. All right, it's about time y'all get excited about Jesus. Amen. Yeah. And excited about Christmas. Y'all know I don't deal with no dead church. Amen. Yeah. I don't deal with no dead people. Amen. I don't even deal with a dead Savior. I deal with a live one. Amen. Yeah. All right, so you're excited about Jesus? Say amen. Yeah. Amen. All right, I can go on and preach now. He's about an instant gift. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's instant. It's instantaneous. The moment you confess your sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The moment that you ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, it's instant at that moment, at that time. Look back with me at verse 6 and 7. It says this, it said, "And so it was that while they were there, in the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." I think about the account in Matthew 1 and verses 21 through 23. And he says this, he says, "And it shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name," what? "Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Aren't you glad for that? Amen. It said, "Now all these things were done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name," what? "Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. It is an instant gift, my friend, that you and I receive. It's God's promises that we receive, my friend. He tells us in John 1:12. He tells us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the" what? "Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." My friends, I'm here to tell you, the greatest gift you can ever receive at Christmas is making Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. Making him Lord and Savior of your life in a moment. "But as many as received him," the moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, he gives you the power to become the sons of man, the children of God, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, listen, there's lots of gifts that we give out. There's lots of gifts that we get at Christmas time, and a lot of them is not instant. Some of you put gifts on layaway. Anybody ever use layaway around here? Yeah, some of you use them on layaway. And my friend, you can't get that gift until what? It's paid for. You can't get that gift until it's paid for. You can put it in layaway and you can go make payments on it, and you can't receive it even if you can't pay for it by Christmas time. The store's not going to give you good grace and say, "Okay, go ahead and take it home and have your Christmas." Don't work like that, does it? You got to pay for it. And once it's paid for, then you what? can receive it. Then you can get it. My friend, it's the same thing with building a house or purchasing a car. Oh, it's not yours. It's the bank's until you make the last payment and get the clear deed or the clear title to it. So there's things in this world that is not instant, that are not instant gifts that we pay for and it costs a lot of money. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to make payments when it comes to Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you ain't got to have a payment book to pay on it for 60 months or 30 years. You're not going to have to pay for it. It's a gift, and a gift is free. And when you receive the gift of Jesus as Lord and Savior for your salvation, it's instant, and it's a free gift that don't cost you a thing. Don't cost you a thing. You don't have to worry about making payments on it. You don't have to worry about it until your payment book, you scratch off the last check and pay it to receive your certificate of salvation. My friend, listen, the moment you confess your sins to the Lord, the moment you invite Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, it's instant. It takes place right then and there that Jesus comes to reside in your life, that He comes to take place in your life. It's instant, my friend. That's a gift worth giving. Amen? A gift worth giving, one that's instant and instantaneously when you give it away and when you share it with others that are in need of Jesus and they make Jesus Lord of their life. It's an instant gift. It's one worth giving away. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but number two, this gift that we're talking about, it takes a lifetime to unwrap. It takes a lifetime to unwrap. When Jesus was born that day in Bethlehem, it was just the beginning of the gift unwrapping, my friend, contest forever. The gift unwrapping of the greatest gifts you can ever have was the day that they unwrapped Jesus, wrapped Him in a swaddling clothes, laid Him in a manger. It's a gift for you and me. For the child of God, that is a gift that takes a lifetime to unwrap. My friend, when you get in God's Word and you read God's Word, His Word is fresh and new every day. My friend, every day that you get in it is a day that you unwrap a little more of what God has done. It's a day that you unwrap a little more of what Jesus has done in your life. Oh, listen to me. He tells me in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, He says, I have not seen, nor ear have heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, my friend, it's a gift. The more that you get in it, the more that you read it, the more that you apply it, the more God allows you to unwrap it a little more each and every day. Oh, listen to me. He said, eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, listen to me. God has great and mighty things prepared for you and me. Oh, it blows me away each and every day that I get up, each and every day that I have an opportunity to serve Jesus, each and every day that He allows me to put one foot in front of another. My friend, it is a day that I get to unwrap more of God, that God gets to reveal Himself, more of Him to me. Each and every day, it's a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to unwrap. It's not something that you just unwrap and it's through. My friend, a child of God and a growing Christian, it's every day God reveals Himself to you and me through His Word, through our prayers, through our communication with Him, through serving the Lord. He unwraps Himself a little more to you and me every day. It never gets old. There's something fresh and new that is in store for you and me every day of our life. It takes a lifetime to unwrap that gift. I think that's the reason Paul understood this, and he wrote in Philippians 2:12. He wrote these things. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen to me. Paul is not saying that salvation requires work. He is saying that there is so much of God's salvation to unwrap, you will have to work at it and get in His book and study it. You will have to work at it. You will have to see what God wants to reveal to your life and my life through His Word. We can learn every day. Oh, listen, I hope we never get to the place where we think we've arrived and we know everything there is to know about the Word. That we've arrived, we don't need it no more. That we're the greatest and we're here and we're on top of the world and we got all the education there is and the knowledge and we are a philosopher. philosopher of the word, and so I know it all, I don't have to read it all. I pray we never get to that point, my friend, because God's word has something fresh and new every day in store in there for your life and my life. Oh, we need to get in it. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to understand, my friend, it takes a lifetime to unwrap the gift, the greatest gift that God has for you and me. It takes a lifetime of studying and understanding that word. Oh, I've talked to Brother Leroy several times, been in the ministry for over 50 years, and he's in God's word every day. And he says every day God gives him a fresh and a new. Every day God reveals to him a different, something different in the scripture. He might have preached the same text 50 times, but every time he's preached it, it's been a fresh and a new. Then afresh and anew, because God reveals himself to us every time we open it up. Every time we read it, God reveals himself to us. It takes a lifetime to unwrap the greatest gift that God ever gave you and me in his son, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. It takes a lifetime to unwrap that gift. Not only that, my friend, but it was a gift that is of enormous value. A gift that is of enormous value that he gave to us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. That enormous gift was of enormous value that he gave to you and me. 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says that. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. My friend, the gift of God that God gave us in his son Jesus Christ is an unspeakable gift. It is a gift that you can't put a price on. It is a gift that you can't hold a value on, my friend. It's the greatest gift ever, and there's no price that you can put on of somebody offering up their son, giving their son, giving their life for you and me. It's the greatest gift ever. How do you put a value on a soul? How you put a value on a soul? It's the greatest gift that you and I could ever receive. Oh, who can begin to put a price on a gift of God? The shepherds realized what an enormous gift they had been given. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. It said the shepherds returned. And what were they doing? Sad? The shepherds returned and they were crying. The shepherds were returned and they were what? Glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which was told unto them. Oh, listen, the wise men understood that the gifts they presented to the Lord of gold and frankincense and myrrh were not even enough, couldn't even measure up as a gift that would be presented to the one that gave us life for you and me. But my friend, they understood the value behind it. They understood who they were presenting that gift to. What gift can compare to you and me as a child of God? What gift can compare to knowing that we have eternal life? To knowing that we're going to a place where we'll never die. Going to a place where we will never suffer. Going to a place where the crying will be gone. Where we feel no pain. To live eternally in a place called heaven. In Revelation 21:1-7. My friend, what a gift. A gift that we receive. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there were no more sea. He goes and says, and I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can you imagine what John saw? Can you imagine the vision that he saw coming down from heaven? He goes on to say, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It is a gift, my friend, that lasts for eternity. It's a gift of God that will always be with you. It's a gift of God that he has, my friend, that you don't have to worry about, that lasts for all eternity. He goes on and he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's a gift, my friend. It's a gift that all the tears and the sorrow powers that we share, if you accept the gift of eternal salvation, if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you accept the greatest gift that was ever given to you and me, my friend, one day when he comes back to get us, one day when the trumpet will sound, my friend, and the archangel and the voice of an archangel will sound and the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ themselves will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day, that gift of Jesus, the greatest gift that was ever given to you and me, my friend, one day the sorrow and the tears will be wiped away. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He goes on to say, and they that sat upon the throne, he says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto thee, write, these words are true and faithful. I'm telling you this morning what I'm talking about, what I'm preaching about. The greatest gift that was ever presented to you and me, it's the truth of God's word. It's faithful. It's true. You can take it to the bank and cash it any day of the week. His word stands true, my friends. He says, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. He said, I would give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Freely, it's a gift that costs you nothing but your willingness to say, God, here am I. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of salvation. God, I confess my sins to you. And God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. It's free. It don't cost you a penny. The water of life he wants to give you is free. He goes on to say in verse 7, he said, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My friends, there is not another gift that is ever offered to mankind that has that kind of promise behind it. Not a gift that's offered to mankind that you can receive that has that promise attached to it. Oh, listen to me. Miss Brenda, as much as you've been sick and out of church, one day you won't have to worry about that no more. One day, Miss Brenda, he'll wipe away that pain, that sorrow and those tears. Brother Randall, it'll be shouting ground one day. We don't have to worry about that. Oh, but it's a gift that if you accept it, it keeps you going. It keeps you going. It helps you to be able to make it. It helps you to put one foot in front of another foot. It's a gift. It's a gift, Brother John, that keeps on giving, that it never runs out. When you accept it, my friend, it's free, and he gives you it for all eternity. Oh, listen, it was an enormous value. It cost God his precious son, but he gave him up willingly for you and me. He gave him up willingly for all those that would confess him. He says, my friend, he would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He gave it up for you and me. Oh, not only that, my friend, but it's something that he desires to give away. A gift is something that we desire to give away. Give this Christmas away, the gift of Jesus. Give at Christmas time, give the gift of Jesus, a gift that will last for all eternity, a gift that keeps giving, a gift that is of enormous value, my friend. In Acts 20 and verse 35, he says this in Acts 20 and verse 35. He says, I showed you all things, how that so laboring you are to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, listen, the gift that we have been given, it takes a lifetime to unwrap. Are you willing to get in his word? Are you willing to come to church? Are you willing to have a prayer life? Are you willing to get in God's word? Are you willing to open up your heart and mind? Are you willing to allow the gift that God has placed in you for everyone that's made Jesus Lord of his life? He wants those Christian virtues and those qualities and characteristics to be lived through you. Are you willing to allow Jesus? Are you willing to allow God to live through you, through Jesus, to exhibit the greatest gift you've ever received? Oh, what are we doing with the Lord? What are we doing? We were challenged Wednesday night with Brother Bill about inviting somebody to come to church, about inviting them and telling them about Jesus, about inviting them to come, be a part of what God is doing here. Oh, listen to me, my friends. Are you inviting? Are you sharing the greatest gift that you could ever share with somebody? And that is Jesus. Oh, listen, when you look back at verse 17 and 18, he says this, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered on those things which were told them by the shepherds. Oh, listen to me. The shepherds seen it. The shepherds witnessed it. The shepherds heard about it. And my friend, what did they do? They made known what God told them to do. They spread abroad what the Lord wanted them to do. My friend, they took this Christ child. They took the greatest gift that was ever born. My friend, they took this gift that God had sent us, and they took it and they shared it with others. They made it known abroad as they shared with others what Jesus had done. You know, I thought about that giving away. This week, I had the opportunity to go to Shands, Jacksonville, and be with Brother John Hoyt and Miss Jean and all their family that was gathered around there, and Roxy and others. But I got there before everybody did. I got there about 6:50 because I had 1,000 things to do on Thursday. So I got there about 6:50, and I went in the room, and I prayed with them, and I stayed there till about 8:10 until they come and got Brother John, took him back, and I had to hit the road running. Tremendous busy day Thursday. And so I hit the road running, and I did a lot of things, and I met up with my little boy Grant, and we did brunch and visited with him, and I left him and went to Baptist South, and then left Baptist South and went back to Shands Gainesville, to Shands Jacksonville, to be with John and Jean and the family that was gathered around there. Miss Roxy knew it was going to be a long day. And she had made up a whole satchel of sandwiches and had bought a bunch of crackers and stuff. And I got there and hadn't even been there about an hour, and got a phone call to head to Shands Gainesville that a friend of a friend was over there and been in a car accident and, you know, needed a pastor. And so I, you know, responded to that call. And as I was leaving, Miss Roxy insisted on me taking a sandwich and taking some bag of crackers. And as bad as this sounds, I wasn't going to take it. I had ate. I had brunch. I wasn't hungry. I was not going to take it. But for whatever reason, Ms. Roxy was not going to take no. And she was persistent. And so I understand how she keeps Max in line. She was persistent. She hasn't gave up. And she was persistent. And one day she says she's going to make him what she wants him to be. She's persistent. She hasn't gave up. But she was persistent with me about taking this sandwich and these two bags of crackers. And I said, "Miss Roxy, I'm not hungry. I'm not going to eat the rest of the day. I've already had enough." She says, "You're going to take this sandwich and these two bags of crackers." I said, "Yes, ma'am, because if I don't, I'm going to be here for the next 8 hours arguing with you that I don't want it." And so I took the sandwich reluctantly. And I'm just being honest with you as a church because I'm telling you a testimony. I took it reluctantly. I took that sandwich and I took those bag of crackers, knowing my full intentions were that when I got down to the first trash can, I was throwing it away. But I got down to the first trash can and I didn't throw it away. I kept it. And I don't know why I kept it. I kept it, and my car was 300 yards away from the door. And I was walking to my car, and I said, "You know what, I guess I can take it. I'm headed to Shands Gainesville now. And I'm not going to have time to stop anywhere. I guess I'll take this with me, and maybe I eat or snack on it when I can." I was walking to my car, and I looked over beside me, and there was an old black man in a tattered clothes, worn-out clothes, holes all in them, gray beard, gray hair, and he was sitting on the curb, and he had his hands crossed, and he was just bent over, slouched over, looking down. And I'm in a hurry, and I walk by him, walk over, and I get to my car. I opened up my car door. I took off my jacket, and I put my jacket in the car. I took those sandwiches and that bag of crackers, and I stuck on top of my jacket. I shut the door, stuck the key in the ignition, and I cranked it up, put it in reverse. And God spoke to me. He says, "You know you're not going to eat that sandwich." And you know you're not going to eat them crackers. And I said, you know, God, you're right. He said, get out and take it to that man. I said, okay, Lord. So I put my car in park. I turned it off. And I go over there to where the gentleman was sitting. He's still sitting like this with his hands folded and crouched over and looking down. Black feller, gray beard, gray hair, just a beat up clothes, holes all in them. And he's sitting there. And I walk up to him. About the time I get to him, he looks up. And I said, sir, I said, would you like a sandwich and these bag of crackers? He said, yes, I would. Thank you. You've been sent to me by an angel of God. You've been sent to me by an angel of God. And yes, I would like those. I gave him that sandwich and I gave him those crackers and he stood up and he hugged me and he kissed me. And I was like, whoa. I went on back to my car about 300 yards away. I got in my car. Opened the door, put my key in it, put it in reverse. Turned around and here's that black man standing right there knocking on my window. I rolled down my window. He says, sir, can I give you a testimony? I said, yes, sir, you can. He says, you might want to cut your car off. It's a little lengthy. So I cut my car off. And he says, I just have to share this with you. He said, I was sitting on that curb. And he said, and I was praying for the Lord to send somebody my way. He said, Monday, I'm not homeless. He said, my wife and I live in subsidy government housing. We get a little paycheck and we get food stamps and I'm not homeless. He said, but Monday we came up here. He said, and I've been married to my wife for 53 years. He said, we came up here and she was sick. He said, we got her in there and they started testing her and checking her out. He said, and they came out and said, we got to rush her into surgery. She's ate up with cancer, and the cancer has ate into an aorta artery, and she is bleeding out. They rushed her into surgery, and they removed her lung. They removed her kidney, and they fixed that aneurysm. But they had to put a trach in there, and she was on a ventilator and didn't know if she was going to live. She was in a coma, and he's sharing this with me. And he said, I've been up here since Monday. I haven't left her bedside. She's been my wife for 53 years. And he said, and I spent all the cash that I had in my pocket eating breakfast and lunch and supper at the hospital. He said, and I'm a diabetic. And I had 3 insulin shots with me. He said, and I took the last one. And he said, and I knew my sugar was affecting me and I had no clue what I was going to do. And he said, and I sat down here. I sat down here on this curb. And I began to pray. And the moment I said, amen, you were standing there to give me a sandwich and a bag of chips. And he said, you are God sent, an angel sent. And I said, well, sir, how are you going to get home? Do you have more money at home? Do you have insulin and stuff to go home? He said, yeah. I said, how far you live from here? He says, about 2 miles. I said, well, I see there's a bus station right here behind us. I said, how much, have you ever rode a bus before? He said, yeah. I said, how much does it cost to get you home? He said, it costs $2. I reached in my pocket and opened my pocket up, and all I had in my wallet was $2. That's all I had in my wallet was $2. I said, sir, here's $2. I want you to get on that bus and go home and get your insulin and get you some more money so you can get back here and see your wife. And I had prayer with him. He hugged me and he kissed me again. This time I liked the kiss. He hugged me and he kissed me again and he says, you are my angel and you will never know what you've done for me by following God's Holy Spirit and leading in your life. You've made my day. He walked off and as soon as he got to the curb to where the bus was to come, the bus pulled up. He got on it and went his way. Well, I got in my car, and I said, you know, Miss Roxy and Gina gave me a pass to get out of the hospital. I got in my car, and I went over to the booth to where the lady was to accept the money. And I got there, and as soon as I got there, I didn't even get my window rolled down. That lady flew open the door, and tears were running down her eyes. And she said, you don't got to say nothing. This parking is on this hospital, and it's on me. It's free. She said, I seen what you did. You ministered to that man. That man was crying. You prayed with that man. You opened your wallet. You got that man on a bus. You gave that man your sandwich. You gave that man your crackers. And you blessed that man for Christmas. And I want to be a blessing to you. And you have a blessed and merry Christmas. I said all that to say, give it away. Give it away. You never know who you're going to touch. You never know who you're going to come in contact with. You never know what kind of blessing you are going to be. And my friend, I had all intentions of taking that sandwich from Roxy and throwing it in the trash. But God had other plans. God had other plans, and thanks Miss Roxy that she was persistent and saying she wasn't going to have it any other way but for me to take that sandwich and bag of crackers. Because little did she know there was going to be a man downstairs that had been married 53 years to his wife that didn't know if she was coming home and hadn't left her bedside in 3 days, that had diabetes, that spent all his money on hospital food and was praying on the curb for God to help him and allowed me to come up and minister to him. You never know. So I called up Roxy and I called up Jean, and Miss Roxy answered the phone and says, Miss Roxy, I got to tell you this. I said, Miss Roxy, I had all intentions on throwing your sandwich and your crackers in the trash when I got downstairs, but God wouldn't let me. And I said, and because you were persistent and I took it, this is what happened. She began to cry. Jean began to cry. I got home that night and I was telling Tanya, I said, I got to tell you this testimony. I shared it with Tanya. She began to cry. We were a mess and I'm still a mess. Give it away. Give it away. Don't take the greatest gift that God has given you or me and hold on to it. Give it away and pass it on and share it with others that are in need of Jesus. Red, yellow, black, or white. Gray beard, black, and gray hair, and tattered clothes and tore up jackets. It don't matter. When God tells you to do something, do it in the name of Jesus. And you can't go wrong. And you can't go wrong. And you even might get a kiss from them too. You know, and then you even, what I'm saying all that, is you never know who's watching. I had no clue the ticket booth lady was watching. She was watching, and it was a blessing to her to see, as she wanted to be a blessing to me. So I got to save my ticket to use it for another day at Chance Jacksonville, because it's a free parking pass thing you can use any time. And so I got that still with me, that when I go back the next time, I'm not going to have to pay. You know, God's blessings, give it away. Give it away. As he said in Acts 20:35, I've showed you all things, how that so labored you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God taught me a lesson. God taught me a lesson. Give it away. This word right here that God gave me, in Acts 20, verse 35, penetrated my heart after dealing with that old man and giving it away. As I said, look back at verse 17 and 18. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It takes a gift. This gift takes a lifetime to unwrap. It is an indescribable gift. My friend, it's one that we need to give away. Not only that, but my friend, it enriches the life of everyone who gets it. It enriches the life of everyone who gets it. God's gift of salvation is meant to enrich the life of everyone that will receive it. In verse 20, it said, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and what? Praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They realized their life would never be the same again. And my friend, let me just tell you something. Running into that black fella, I hope I run into him again, and I'm going to try my best to look him up and look his wife up when I go back to Shands. He impacted my life, and I will never be the same again. He impacted my life with his testimony and what he shared with me. I didn't know him, know nothing about his life. But now I do. And now I do. And my friend, it impacted mine. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, "And the Lord, he it is that do go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, and neither be dismayed." This gift takes a lifetime to unwrap, and my friend, it will enrich every life that it comes in contact with. Oh, listen. Amen. It's a gift. Get down there and rich. You know what? Tanya and I have found out along our way. We have done this before. At a man at Taco Bell probably 15 years ago was a black man the same way, with a gray beard and gray hair, tethered, worn, beat up clothes. He had him a bucket of water and he had him a squeegee. And he was going around to the different businesses in the place, and he was willing to clean their windows just for something to eat. Not no money. The man didn't want no money. He didn't ask for no money. He came in and asked, could he clean the windows of Taco Bell? Y'all know how many windows in Taco Bell's? And you know how big they are? They're like 12 foot wide and 12 foot high, and there's probably 30 of them. And Tanya and I was in there, and it was up at the Avenues Mall, the Taco Bell that was across the street from there. We were there when a gentleman came in and asked for the manager. The manager came up and said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Can I clean your windows on the inside and out just for something to eat?" The manager said, "No, you need to get out of here." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute." I said, "This man's here willing to work, willing to clean your windows inside and out for something to eat, and you're going to tell him to get out of here?" I said, "Sir, order what you want from the menu." The manager looked at me and says, "He's not eating here." I said, "Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, he is. And he's on my tab, and you're going to take my order, and I'm going to place the order for him. He's not going to have the order. He's going to tell me what number he wants, and I'm going to put it on my tab, and I'm going to buy it, and we're going to eat." And we did. He told me what he wanted. We bought it, and the man wasn't going to let him in. I said, "Nope, you sit with our family." And he came in there and he sit at our table and we minister to him, and that man would have it no other way than to go outside and wash our windows and our car inside and out. He wouldn't have it any other way. He wanted to work for his food. You know, and I'll never forget that. And we've done other things like that along the way. Well, we've helped. Listen, what God is telling you to do, you can't go wrong. Give it away. The best gift you can ever give at Christmas time is the gift of salvation for those you come in contact with. Tell them about Jesus, what he has done for you. And my friends, share it with them and give it away. You never know who you come in contact with. My friend, that will be a blessing in return to you. I will never forget this man at Shands as long as I live. And I will be praying for him. And I will be praying for his wife. And I'll be praying that God would keep me sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that when he pricks my heart to do something, to continue to obey what he tells me to do. Even if it is inconvenienced, that I will listen and I will give it. My friend, because listen, it blessed his heart, it blessed others that seen it, and it blessed me. And I'm wanting to share it with you today. Give it away. Give it away. Will you receive the greatest gift you could ever receive in making Jesus Lord of your life? He's here this morning. He's knocking at your heart's door. Will you open it up and receive the greatest gift you can ever receive? How do I do that, Brother Tim? You come on down. I'll share with you in Scripture what you must do to make Jesus Lord of your life.